Doctrine and Covenants and Church History Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual, Lesson 6. I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Purpose: to help class members learn to recognize personal revelation through the Holy Ghost and to encourage them to seek this blessing in their lives. Preparation. 1. Prayerfully study Doctrine and Covenants, sections 6, 8, 9, and 11, and the other scriptures in this lesson. 2. Review the material for this lesson in the Class Member Study Guide, 35686. Plan ways to refer to the material during the lesson. 3. If you use the attention activity, bring a radio to class. Suggestions for lesson development. Attention activity. As appropriate, use the following activity or one of your own to begin the lesson. Show a radio to the class, but do not turn it on. Why can't we hear what is being broadcast? Turn on the radio, but do not tune it to a station. What must we do before we can hear a radio station clearly? How can listening to the Holy Ghost be compared to finding a radio station? Making the effort to seek the Holy Ghost's guidance may be compared to turning on the radio. Doing what is necessary to receive the whisperings of the Holy Ghost may be compared to tuning the radio to a station or repairing the radio if necessary. Explain that this lesson is intended to help class members learn how to recognize personal revelation from the Holy Ghost. Discussion and application. Prayerfully select the lesson material that will best meet class members' needs. Discuss how the selected scriptures apply to daily life. Encourage class members to share experiences that relate to the scriptural principles. Remind class members that this is the second of two lessons about personal revelation. Lesson 5 discussed how to prepare to receive personal revelation. This lesson discusses how to recognize personal revelation. 1. Understanding how the Holy Ghost communicates with us. Explain that revelation can come in many ways. Some of these include appearances by the Lord or His messengers, voices from the Lord or His messengers, visions and dreams. Usually, however, revelation comes as the Holy Ghost communicates thoughts to our minds and feelings in our hearts. The Holy Ghost is a member of the Godhead. He is a revelator who teaches, comforts, warns, strengthens, and guides us. Explain that the Holy Ghost communicates with us in a variety of ways. Have class members read the following scripture references. Then have them identify what those scriptures teach about how the Holy Ghost communicates with us. Suggested answers are included. Summarize responses on the chalkboard. Then discuss the responses. A. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 8, verses 2 through 3, Section 85, verse 6. He uses a still, small voice to communicate to our minds and hearts. See also 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, 1 Nephi chapter 17, verse 45, Helaman chapter 5, verse 30. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the Twelve taught, "Visions do happen. Voices are heard from beyond the veil. I know this. But these experiences are exceptional. Most of the revelation that comes to leaders and members of the church comes by the still small voice or by a feeling rather than by a vision or a voice that speaks specific words we can hear. I testify to the reality of that kind of revelation, which I have come to know as a familiar, even daily, experience to guide me in the work of the Lord. Teaching and learning by the Spirit Ensign, March 1997, page 14. Elder Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the Twelve taught, "These delicate, refined spiritual communications are not seen with our eyes nor heard with our ears, and even though it is described as a voice, it is a voice that one feels more than one hears. That all may be edified," 1982, page 335. Why is it important to understand this principle of how the Holy Ghost communicates? What are the dangers of expecting divine communication to come in more dramatic or spectacular ways? Elder Dallin H. Oakes cautioned, "Some people have looked exclusively for the great manifestations that are recorded in the Scriptures and have failed to recognize the still small voice that is given to them. We need to know that the Lord rarely speaks loudly. His messages almost always come in a whisper. Not understanding these principles of revelation, some people postpone acknowledging their testimony until they have experienced a miraculous event. They fail to realize that with most people, gaining a testimony is not an event, but a process." Ensign, March 1997, pages 11 and 12 and page 14. B. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 6, verse 15, and Section 11, verses 13 and 14. He enlightens our minds. In what ways does the Spirit enlighten our minds? Answers could include that the Spirit can enlighten our minds with new ideas or insights, flashes of inspiration, and strong feelings or impressions. See, for example, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 128, verse 1. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that revelation may come as sudden strokes of ideas that flow into our minds as pure intelligence. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 151. Invite class members to tell of experiences when the Holy Ghost has enlightened their minds with new ideas or insights, flashes of inspiration, or strong feelings or impressions. See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 6, verses 22 and 23. He brings peace to our minds. Explain that Oliver Cowdery stayed in the home of Joseph Smith's parents for a time before meeting the prophet. During this time, Oliver had prayed and received a peaceful assurance that Joseph's calling and work were divine. Oliver then traveled to Harmony, Pennsylvania, and began his labors as scribe for Joseph in the translation of the Book of Mormon. Soon thereafter, Oliver desired a further witness of the assurance he had received earlier. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 6, verse 22. What did the Lord reveal to Oliver Cowdery about his desire for a further witness of the prophet's divine mission? See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 6, verses 22 and 23. Invite class members to tell of experiences when the Spirit has spoken peace to their minds. How can we become more trusting of the peace that the Spirit speaks to our minds? D. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 9, verses 7 and 8. He may cause a burning in the bosom. See also Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Point out that although the context of Doctrine and Covenants, Section 9, has to do with Oliver Cowdery's attempt to translate the Book of Mormon, the principles also apply to personal revelation. Emphasize that a burning in the bosom is only one way the Holy Ghost can communicate with us. You may want to use the following quotations to help class members understand this way in which the Spirit communicates. President Boyd K. Packer explained, "This burning in the bosom is not purely a physical sensation. It is more like a warm light shining within your being." In Conference Report, October 1994, page 77, or Ensign, November 1994, page 60. Elder Dallin H. Oakes said, I have met persons who told me they have never had a witness from the Holy Ghost because they have never felt their bosom burn within them. What does a burning in the bosom mean? Does it need to be a feeling of caloric heat like the burning produced by combustion? If that is the meaning, I have never had a burning in the bosom. Surely the word burning in this scripture signifies a feeling of comfort and serenity. Ensign, March 1997, page 13. E. Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 12. He often reveals things line upon line, precept upon precept, rather than all at once. Explain that we usually receive revelation in accordance with our preparation to receive it. As we become more prepared, more is revealed to us. Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve taught, when we seek inspiration to help make decisions, the Lord gives gentle promptings. These require us to think, to exercise faith, to work, to struggle at times, and to act. Seldom does the whole answer to a decisively important matter or complex problem come all at once. More often, it comes a piece at a time without the end in sight. In Conference Report, October 1989, page 40, or Ensign, November 1989, page 32. Invite class members to share experiences of how they have received divine guidance line upon line or step by step. 2. Cautions about personal revelation. Have class members read the following scripture references. Then have them identify the caution those scriptures give about personal revelation. Suggested answers are included. Summarize responses on the chalkboard. A. Doctrine and Covenants, section 109, verse 44. We should pray that the Lord's will be done, and be willing to submit our will to His. See also Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Why is it important to submit our will to God's will when we seek personal revelation? How can we recognize when God answers no? Answers could include that we will have negative feelings, confusion, feelings of unrest and uneasiness, or a stupor of thought. Doctrine and Covenants, section 9, verse 9. Invite class members to share experiences with receiving such feelings. How should we respond when a sincere prayer about something we desire very much is not answered the way we want? How can such experiences help us? B. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 68. We should remember that revelation will come in the Lord's own time and way. Explain that we do not always receive revelation at the time or in the way we expect. If we try to force revelation to come when and how we want it, we may be deceived. Elder Dallin H. Oaks taught, the Lord will speak to us through the Spirit in His own time and in His own way. Many people do not understand this principle. They believe that when they are ready and when it suits their convenience, they can call upon the Lord and He will immediately respond, even in the precise way they have prescribed. Revelation does not come that way. The principle stated in Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 68, applies to every communication from our Heavenly Father. It shall be in His own time, and in His own way, and according to His own will. We cannot force spiritual things. Ensign, March 1997, pages 10 and 11. C. Doctrine and Covenants, section 28, verses 2 and 6 and 7, section 43, and verses 2 through 4. We receive revelation according to our stewardship and responsibilities. The prophet Joseph Smith taught, it is contrary to the economy of God for any member of the church, or anyone, to receive instruction for those in authority higher than themselves. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 21. Shortly before his call as an apostle, Dallin H. Oaks explained, "Our Heavenly Father's house is a house of order. Only the president of the church receives revelation to guide the entire church. The person who receives revelation for the ward is the bishop. Individuals can receive revelation to guide their own lives. But when one person purports to receive revelation for another person outside his or her own area of responsibility, such as a church member who claims to have revelation to guide the entire church, or a person who claims to have a revelation to guide another person over whom he or she has no presiding authority, according to the order of the church, you can be sure that such revelations are not from the Lord." Revelation, New Era, September 1982, pages 45 and 46. Why is this principle important for governing the church? Why is it important to understand in our relationships with other people? If it is appropriate for your class, you may want to refer to the second additional teaching idea for one suggestion about how to develop this discussion. D. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 11, verses 12 through 14, Section 50, verses 23 and 24. We should discern whether the revelation has come from God. Explain that it is important for us to discern whether a revelation is truly from God. Sometimes what we think is a revelation may be a projection of our own desires, and sometimes false revelations may come from Satan. How can we discern whether a revelation has come from God? See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 11, verses 12 through 14, Section 50, verses 23 and 24. Answers could include that revelations from God will be in accordance with Scripture and the counsel of the living prophets. They will be edifying. They will not lead us to do something that is contrary to the principles of righteousness. The First Presidency said, "When inspiration conveys something out of harmony with the accepted revelations of the church, or contrary to the decisions of its constituted authorities, Latter-day Saints may know that it is not of God, no matter how plausible it may appear. Anything at discord with that which comes from God through the head of the church is not to be received as authoritative or reliable." In James R. Clark, Messages of the First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Volume 4, page 285. 3. When revelation is not received or recognized. What should we do when personal revelation does not come when we desire it? Answers could include the following. A. Be patient and continue to wait faithfully on the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 98, verse 2. He will answer in His time. Exercising patience helps us grow spiritually and develop attributes of godliness. You may want to read the second paragraph of the letter that is quoted in Official Declaration 2, pages 293 through 294 in the Doctrine and Covenants, pointing out that even prophets must exercise patience as they seek divine guidance. B. Increase our efforts to be in tune spiritually so we can receive and recognize the whisperings of the Spirit. C. Increase our efforts to study and pray, recognizing that we may not have done this as long, as faithfully, or as honestly as we should. D. Be more faithful in obeying the commandments. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. E. Set the matter aside for a while. Flashes of inspiration often come when we least expect them, while our minds are no longer consumed by the matter. F. Recognize that we may be seeking counsel on matters that we should determine for ourselves, using our best judgment based on study and reason. In these cases, the Lord may leave us to decide on our own. For examples, see Doctrine and Covenants, Section 58, verses 25 through 28, Section 60, verse 5, Section 61, verse 22, and Section 62, verse 5. The Lord often allows us to make our own decisions in righteousness. G. Evaluate whether we may have received an answer already, but have not accepted it because it was not what we hoped for or expected. If we insist on what we want, we may close off the Spirit's communication with us. Elder Boyd K. Packer counseled, "Sometimes you may struggle with a problem and not get an answer. What could be wrong? It may be that you are not doing anything wrong. It may be that you have not done the right things long enough. Remember, you cannot force spiritual things. Sometimes we are confused simply because we won't take no for an answer. Put difficult questions in the back of your minds and go about your lives. Ponder and pray quietly and persistently about them. The answer may not come as a lightning bolt. It may come as a little inspiration here and a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept. Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 12. Some answers will come from reading the Scriptures, some from hearing speakers, and occasionally, when it is important, some will come by very direct and powerful inspiration. The promptings will be clear and unmistakable. In Conference Report, October 1979, pages 29 and 30, or Ensign, November 1979, page 21. Conclusion. Emphasize that each of us has the privilege and responsibility to become fluent in the language of the Spirit. Encourage class members to make the effort necessary to receive and recognize the whisperings of the Holy Ghost. Testify that as we prepare ourselves and listen carefully, we will receive revelation upon revelation through the Holy Ghost. Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 61. Additional teaching ideas. 1. Teaching children about personal revelation. If you are teaching adults, you may want to discuss how to teach the principle of personal revelation to children. 2. Caution about revelation for marriage. The following caution from Elder John H. Groberg of the 70 explains an important principle of seeking divine guidance about whom to marry. I would caution you that you cannot receive a one-sided revelation from God in regards to an eternal marriage. Only as both parties feel the same way can you have the assurance that it is from the Lord. Those who try to force another's free will into their supposed revelation mold are doing a great disservice to themselves and to their friends. What are you doing here? New Era, January 1987, pages 37 and 38. 3. President Joseph F. Smith's process of receiving his testimony. Share President Joseph F. Smith's account of how he received his testimony. When I, as a boy, first started out in the ministry, I would frequently go out and ask the Lord to show me some marvelous thing in order that I might receive a testimony. But the Lord withheld marvels from me and showed me the truth line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, until he made me know the truth from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, and until doubt and fear had been absolutely purged from me. He did not have to send an angel from the heavens to do this, nor did he have to speak with the trump of an archangel. By the whisperings of the still small voice of the Spirit of the living God, he gave to me the testimony I possess. And by this principle and power, he will give to all the children of men a knowledge of the truth. Gospel Doctrine, page 7. End of Lesson 6. I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost.